Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, John chapter 1. We finished up last week in verse 36 when John the Baptist was standing there with two of his disciples. These were men, among others, that had joined themselves to John the Baptist, as learners or pupils. And his disciples are referenced other places in the New Testament. For example, one time when John was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask the question, "Hey, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we're looking for, or is there another?" And of course, Jesus assured them that he was the Messiah and told them to go back and encourage John. But I would just remind you, John did not seek to perpetuate his movement. He did not gather disciples to himself so that his movement could go on. His purpose, his mission, and we talked about how he was faithful to that mission, was to diminish himself and to uplift Christ. He pointed to Jesus every time and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that's what he did this particular occasion. Two of his disciples were standing there. We know one of them was Andrew. We think the other one was John, the writer of the gospel. But they were standing there with him. He saw Jesus coming. And he said, "Behold!" In verse 36 there, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so we start in verse 37, where the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Now, again, you might say, well, they weren't very loyal to John the Baptist. But they were loyal, because they were doing what John the Baptist wanted every person that came under the influence of his preaching to do. John the Baptist wanted them to take their eyes off of him and put their eyes on Jesus Christ. So here were two learners, two disciples of John, who heard their teacher say, "Here's the one I've been talking about. Behold the Lamb of God." And they did exactly what John wanted them to do. They followed Jesus. Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" So Jesus was walking. He heard these two men following him. He heard their footsteps. He turned and he asked the question, "What seek ye? What are you looking for?" Now, again, notice these are the first recorded words of Jesus in the book of John. And what a challenge those first words contain, not just for these two men that were following him, but for all of us as we follow Jesus as well. As we follow Christ, what are we looking for? Jesus wanted to know. Why are you following me? He didn't ask the question, whom seek ye? He just wanted to know why. Why are you following me? Is it just curiosity? Is it just because you're doing what John the Baptist said? Or are you following me seeking what John the Baptist implied that I could give to you? God wants all of us to follow Christ. But he wants us to ask the question, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? Jesus never sought popularity. Like any good Baptist, they counted. I mean, they counted how many people they fed on different occasions, and so they knew how many were there. But he wasn't concerned about the numbers. What he was concerned about were people that followed him in spirit and in truth. And he's still looking for people to do that, to follow him in spirit and in truth, looking for that salvation that he gives, looking for that eternal life that he gives, looking for that abundant life that he gives. He wants us to know why we're following him. Now, Jesus turned around, heard him follow him, turned around and said, "What are you looking for? What seek ye?" I'm sure that it startled them. They weren't ready to answer the question. So they simply said, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou? Where are you staying?" Now, Rabbi was a Jewish title. It was an honorable title. The word actually means in Hebrew, my greatness. It referred to a teacher, okay? And so, again, John wrote his gospel to Gentiles, and so rabbi was a Jewish term, and so in that verse, he interpreted it, put it in a language that the Greeks would understand. So John writes there, rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, master or teacher. Master or teacher. Now, it was natural for these two disciples to do that because they were, in effect, switching their learning that they wanted to do from a teacher, from John the Baptist to Jesus. So they were making him their new teacher. They were making him their new master. Now, where dwellest thou? Where are you staying? I think they wanted to know so that they could come back later. They wanted a private conversation with Jesus. They wanted to ask questions about how John introduced him as the Lamb of God or the Messiah. Both these disciples were Jews, so they were looking, hopeful that the Messiah would come. When John the Baptist said, "This is he, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one that's going to take away the sins of the world," they wanted to come back and talk to Jesus, get more detail, find out for themselves if John knew what he was talking about. And so I believe that's why they ask, "Where are you staying?" Look at verse 39. "He saith unto them, come and see." You see, Jesus couldn't see any reason for delay. He said, "Don't ask me where I'm staying so you can come back later and visit with me. Come home with me now. Come with me now. Come and see now if I'm the one that you're looking for." It was an invitation for inspection. "Hey, John the Baptist told you who I am. I want you to come see for yourself. I want you to ask me questions. I want you to examine me yourself." The gospel is never afraid of honest inquiry and honest questions. All men are invited to Jesus with the same invitation. Come and see. Come and see. See if I'm not who I claim to be. See if I can't offer you what I claim I can offer you, eternal life. And so again, the men might wanted to come back later that evening. Jesus said, "What are you waiting for? Come on now. I'm open to your questions now. I'm open to your inspection now." And again, it was an invitation without any delay. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Jesus is always home. The welcome mat is always out. He invites us to, he's a 24-7, it's a 24-7, 365, 366 if it's leap year, invitation to come and see. The door is never closed to him. He wants everybody to come. That's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. There's no reason for delay. If the Holy Spirit pricks your heart about coming to Jesus, don't put it off. Come now. Come now. The invitation is now. And so they came. The rest of verse 39. "They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." So again, they took Jesus up on his invitation. "You don't need to come back later. Come on with me now. Come and see now." So they sat down with Jesus. They asked him questions. Bible doesn't record the questions. Bible doesn't record what Jesus said. But they listened to him. They heard his words. They saw him, his character, his manner. And they knew when they left that he was more than just another rabbi. They knew because I believe they both went out of there. We know for sure Andrew went out of there looking for Peter, his brother. He said, "Peter, we found the Messiah. We found him. We found him." And so in that short amount of time that they followed Jesus and sat down with him and asked him questions and heard him talk, and I'm going to tell you in just a little bit, I think it was only for a couple hours. But in that 2 hours, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was the one that the Jews were waiting for. This was the Messiah. Now, here's why I say it was only a couple of hours, because it says in that last part of verse 39, for it was about the 10th hour. 10th hour. The Jewish day started at 6 a.m. So the 10th hour would be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So if they sat down with Jesus about 4 o'clock, that verse says, and they spent, they abode with him that day. Jewish day ended at 6 o'clock that evening. Now, again, I don't know if, you know, if they left exactly at 6, but they spent the rest of the day with him. And so let's just be technical. The rest of the day would have ended at 6 p.m. So if they started at 4 and ended at 6, it meant they spent 2 hours together. And in that 2 hours, they realized that Jesus was the Messiah. I think if any person, any honest inquirer, any honest seeker could sit down with Jesus, in 2 hours, he could convince anyone that he is the Son of God and the Messiah. He certainly did these two disciples. They left their teacher to follow one that their teacher pointed to and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." They followed him. They spent a couple hours with him, and it literally changed their lives forever. They were different after that meeting. The same thing will happen to any person that comes and spends time with Jesus. He will change our life. He will. Look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John the Baptist speak and followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, so we know who one of them were. We don't know who the other one was, but I sort of think it was the Apostle John. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, John never mentions himself in the first person. He always refers to himself in the third person. And he doesn't mention his name. Oftentimes, he mentions himself as that beloved disciple or the disciple who Jesus loved. He never mentions his own name, but always that description, the disciple who Jesus loved. And I was thinking about it. If I had a choice to use that phrase, the person who Jesus loved, or my own name, I'd use the person who Jesus loved, because it would remind me about how much he loves me. That's what John did. So we know that Andrew and John were friends. They grew up in the same city. They were business partners. Andrew and his brother Peter were fishing partners with John and his brother James. Peter was older, James was older. So notice what Andrew did, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now, that word first, he first findeth his own brother. It comes from one of two Greek words that are very close. And I don't get into Greek very often because I don't know Greek, only what I read. But I find this interesting. It could come from the Greek word protos, P-R-O-T-O-S, which is an adjective. And if that's the word that this word first came from, it means that both of these guys went out looking for their brothers. Andrew went out looking for Peter, and John went out looking for James. And if it does come from the word protos, which is an adjective, it means that Andrew found Peter before John found James. It could have come from the Greek word proton, P-R-O-T-O-N, which is an adverb, which means Andrew, before he did anything else after he left Jesus, before he ate, before he rested, before he did anything else, he went out and found his brother Peter. Now, I sort of think it could have been both. I think Andrew, and again, it's not recorded that John went back to James, but in all likelihood, he did. And so it could very well be that Andrew found Peter before John found James, and I'm for sure that he didn't do anything else until he went out and found Peter. He didn't eat dinner. He went out looking for his brother, Simon, to tell him that they had found the Messiah. And notice that Andrew is the first person in the New Testament after John the Baptist that met the Messiah, that met Christ, who went out and told somebody else about him. Now again, he stands at a long line of believers that have done that down through the centuries, of folks that have met Christ and then went out and told somebody about him. That's our business as Christians. That's what God has left us here for, to be a witness for Christ. Andrew may not have been as prominent as his brother Peter turned out to be. He may not have been as talented as Peter. In fact, he may have only had one spiritual gift, but he devoted that gift to God. You say, what was that gift, preacher? I believe his spiritual gift was bringing others to Christ. Every time in the book of John, save one, and this one, the one time that it doesn't mention this, it talked about Peter and Andrew's home. But every other time that Andrew is mentioned in the Gospel of John, he's bringing somebody else to Jesus. He brought the little boy with the lunch. He brought the Greeks. I mean, he was always bringing somebody else to Christ. Now, that word, he first findeth, suggests that he had to do some searching for Peter. He found him. What'd he say? We have found the Messiah. Again, John added the interpretation for his Gentile readers. He put the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah in there when he says, we have found, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Andrew and John made the greatest discovery that they could make in their life. They found the Messiah who all Israel was looking for. And I can only imagine how excited they were. Just stop and think for a second. Have you ever discovered something, or have you ever found something that you've been so excited about finding or realizing or understanding that you couldn't wait to tell your brother, or you couldn't wait to tell your sister, you couldn't wait to tell your mom and dad? I mean, just think about that. That's how these two men felt. They found, the Jews had been looking for the Messiah for hundreds of years. He had been promised. He had been prophesied. And these two men met him that afternoon. Andrew didn't go into a theological discussion with his brother. I mean, the fact that he used the word Messiah, the Christ, it brings to mind a whole system of Hebrew theology. But what he did, he merely told what he had experienced. He merely told what he had gone through himself. That's the essence of Christian witnessing. It's basically telling others what has happened to us. We're not the prosecuting or the defense attorney. We're not the judge or the jury. We are a witness. We are to tell others what we have experienced ourselves. I had a person asked me one time, he said, why do you think the large majority of Christians aren't a witness? Why do you think they don't tell anybody about Jesus? I said, it's one of two reasons. Number one, they don't realize what they have. They have come to the point in their life where they've forgotten what they have in the Lord Jesus Christ, or they never got it in the first place. Because if you got it and you realize what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be like Brother Bill was over here earlier tonight about putting new wine in an old skin. You're going to bust. You can't hold it in. You got to tell somebody. Now, that word found comes. This is interesting too. And I'm sorry I'm getting into so much Greek tonight, but I just found this was really interesting. It comes from a Greek word, hierocharmen. Hierocharmen. And I'm probably not saying it right. And it's the second person use of the word, because John said, we have found, or we have hierocharmen. The first person, if he had said, I have found, it's the Greek word hierocheuka that we get our English word eureka from. And so you could say, eureka, I have found the Messiah. I have found the Christ. Now, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, we're going to stop there, but we're going to finish with this phrase. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, it implies that Andrew might have encountered some resistance from his brother Simon. And so he had to work a little bit to get Simon to come with him. He may have used Jesus' own words that he had used on Andrew. Hey, if you don't believe me, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Now, some people say that by the time that Andrew found Peter, it was probably 8 o'clock in the evening. Okay? Because if they got there at 4 and they spent the rest of the day and the day ended at 6, if they left right at 6, probably took Andrew a couple hours to find his brother. And so a lot of people think, well, this meeting with Jesus happened the next day. I don't agree with that. I don't think it happened the next day. The tense of the verb brought, and the fact that the next verse, verse 43, says the day following, I believe it suggests to me that Peter and that Andrew did not wait, that he brought Peter back to Jesus that night. He did not rest. He did not let Peter rest until he got his brother to Jesus. And you know, Peter, from what we know about him in reading the whole New Testament, sometimes he could be stubborn. Sometimes Peter, you know, was blunt. And if he argued with Andrew about coming, I can just hear the discussion that they had. And Peter said, look, I'm not going with you. I don't believe you. We can talk about this later. And I can just see his little brother. I had a couple little brothers. I can just see his little brother keep coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back. And I can just see Peter saying, okay, what's it going to take to get you to shut up? What's it going to take to get you to quit bugging me? And Andrew said, I want you to come with me right now. Right now. Andrew did not want to take a chance and let a night pass without his brother meeting the Messiah. Oh, that we would have the same persistency and the same urgency about bringing others to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. That's what we ought to do. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back in the library. Ladies will be praying back here if you'd like to join them. Thank you for being here for prayer meeting.